How do you like me now? Welcome to the podcast that always takes it there. I am your host, T, from the infamous TBlog.com, and now I reside here on the T Podcast to entertain all of you. Some say I have a way with words. Some call me the Tom Brady of blogging. Some call me the Conor McGregor of podcasting. Some even call me the white Tupac of screenwriting. The king of the bean, a.k.a. Boston. The man who is always, always on his grown man shit. Thank you for tuning in. Now let me do what I do here, and that is to entertain the shit out of all of you. Today is Thursday, May 30th, 2019. How's everyone doing? How's everyone liking the podcast in the new QuickTime recording? If you listen to Tuesday's podcast, my review of John Wick and Brightburn, you'll hear some high-quality fucking podcasting from your boy T. And hopefully I get one up with B-Lo. I don't know, think we'll get one with Habibi this week. He had a lot going on with the Memorial Day weekend. But we'll get him back in for some sports stuff, especially with the Bruins in the Stanley Cup. Today, I'm just going to jump in. First things first, I'm trying to mix this up with some real-life stories and adventures, stuff from T-Blog, and some topical stuff. So you're going to get a good mix, a good plethora, if you will, of a bunch of shit. What I'm doing right now is I'm recording this podcast over the weekend to go live on Thursday. Now you're listening to Thursday, like I said, May 30th. I am chilling on some CBD edibles. That's right. There is, if you're from Massachusetts, you're aware of what's going on in the news over the past couple of years. A lot of states have passed making marijuana legal in marijuana candies and edibles, marijuana supplements legal as well. And so we went through all this regulation here in Massachusetts, in Boston, trying to figure out where we could open up these marijuana dispensaries, these stores, these clinics. So a lot of places have the medical clinics where you have the medical card, medicinal purposes only, you could go and get marijuana. Now that they can actually sell it to people over 21, they're trying to figure out the best way to regulate it, how much you could buy, where you could use it. You can't use it in public. You could use it in the privacy of your own home. Police is going to test on it, what they're going to do. So I went to a place called Netta in Brookline, which used to be Brookline Savings Bank. It is a bank. And now it is a place that sells marijuana and all the marijuana supplements and edibles. And you could call your order and reserve it online ahead of time. Go there. You still got to wait in a little mini line. There are cops on the outside, cops on the inside, a bunch of people waiting to get in. And by the way, I'm much more relaxed on these edibles, and I'll get into that in a second. And again, I'm not a fucking weed head, and I'll tell you my stories in a little bit. So you wait in the line, you get in, and I'm telling you right now, the bank is now a weed store. It's a weed bank, and it's cash only. Now, two things happened with me. One, the screenwriter in me, the movie fan in me, and the East Boston person in me who grew up around a bunch of criminals in my family, that blood, that street element. Yeah, I've dabbled in some criminal elements back in the day. I'm just thinking, like, the town. Oh, heat. Like, this place would make for one hell of a story. Whether it got robbed, whether I wanted to rob it, which, again, I would never rob it, or if I wanted to turn a robbery into a story. I could see that happening. I could see Affleck, Damon, and douchebag Wahlberg making a Boston movie about these weed banks, these weed dispensaries that actually get robbed because it's a cash-based business. And these tellers, there's like 20, 30 tellers. These customers were coming in at like 50 at a time. They're probably moving like, you know, 200 to 300 every half hour. They're dropping cash upon cash. There's two cops inside, security inside, cops outside. I'm like, holy shit. What if a shootout happened right now? So that's the movie fan in me, the screenwriter in me. I'm like, so I had to get that out of my system. I'm like, holy shit. A lot of people like fucking weed. And there is big money in weed. And of course, again, I'm also T, the businessman. As you all know, I do well for myself. I invest. I know how to make money. I make my money last. I get the most bang for my buck, whether it's for my salary or investments. I know what the fuck I'm doing. And I looked into what you need to do to get invested into a marijuana dispensary like we have here now in Massachusetts. Right now, they're trying to find more locations, so they're going to pop up. So I'm thinking you got a 5 to 10 year window where they regulate what you want to have, what the rules and the laws are going to be. We're starting to play that out right now. Then the neighborhoods that allow it to come in, neighborhoods that make a lot of money. Once you have that, and there's not a lot of them, because eventually it's going to be like Los Angeles, like Denver, you're going to probably have a weed store every 20 feet, just like we have weed paraphernalia stores right now where you could buy bongs and papers and shit like that. You could buy the vaping, all the jewels, all the people on fucking vape pens, all the douchebags, right? That's big right now. Eventually, weed stores are going to become very popular like that. But for now, with that 5 to 10 year window, as we find ways to monetize it and legalize it and what we need to do and what kind we're going to sell and the strains here in the state and how you get fined for all the penalties or the jail time you're going to do, we have some time. And I'm thinking to invest right now. I read some stuff where you need basically $200,000 to $250,000 in startup money to have that to roll into the equity of the business. And you need to buy stock into the company itself that you're partnering with. The ones that come through, you need to have that stock, the different types of investors that have that. So you need to have that in the back end. So you probably could do that on your own if you do well for yourself. But that is a big money business. Now, I don't know if people morally could say that, just like, you know, strip clubs. Strip clubs are really big. Do you want to be a strip club owner? I don't have any problem of somebody being a weed store owner. Again, this store, this place in Brookline, the people that have medicinal cards, they go first. They cut the line. They have their own special line. There are people out there that legit need weed for health reasons. Now, people have further along where you smoke the weed besides the edibles. There's all different types, right? There's the CBD oils. A lot of people are doing that. The edibles themselves. And there's different levels. They're the people that actually diagnose themselves as opposed to going to a doctor and getting the card. So for me, what I went through last year with my health stuff, with dealing with my mom, I have spoken on the podcast where I had to deal with heart issues and I was getting these palpitations that were just jumping out of my chest. And then my head was all fucked up and I was getting these weird, not pain migraines, but sometimes I got these shooting pains. It was more about like my head wasn't level enough. No matter what I did for my diet, no matter what I did for working out, I increased cardio, going 7 days a week, trying to find that balance after some time had passed, after my mom had passed away, and getting back to work, and getting back to dating, I'm much better, but I felt like I could still use something to take the edge off. So I said, fuck it. I threw some money down. I bought a bunch of edibles and a bunch of pre-rolled joints. Again, I don't know when I'm going to smoke those. I don't know if I want to go right to the weed, but everybody's been telling me about the benefits of anxiety and stress for CBD. Whether you use a CBD oil, again, a CBD-laced edible, however you want to do it. So I bought the candies, they're the gems that melt in your mouth and not in your hand, pun intended. And then I also got the chocolates. I'm not a big chocolate person, I'm not a big candy person, but I wanted to try these. I didn't get any of the oils quite yet. Also, I got, like I said, four different types of the pre-rolled, the sativa-laced, I got the Buddha's sister, got all that shit. And eventually I'll try smoking too, but I wanted to start off with the edibles. So this is my second night on them. Last night I took 1 5 milligrams. It took 2 hours. In between those 2 hours, I had that window. You don't feel high. You don't feel like, whoa, like you would smoke a joint. When I was a kid growing up, I grew up in East Boston. Everybody fucking knew a weed dealer. Everybody grew up around weed. Of course, I had friends that were into it and had that shit too. I had a buddy that got that good shit, got the kush, got the reefer, got that purple, got that real sticky icky. I didn't start smoking weed until college, and I was never as bad as my friends. I'm not saying bad in a negative way, but they would need to smoke constantly or all the time. To me, maybe that was a gateway drug for a lot of folks. Kids my age in the late 90s, early 2000s went from weed to ecstasy. Some of those kids went on to fucking heroin, to OxyContin, to straight up shooting up shit, to going to fucking jail. That was a gateway start, I guess. I think a lot of people have that in the system already. My advice, my mentality is go big or go home in anything, whether it's working out, in my career, in the writing, the podcasting. I knew that if I ever got into that drug scene, I would probably have gone hard, would have got addicted, I probably would have died. So I only dabbled in weed when my friends occasionally had it around. And again, I would either get really high and silly. I got a silly personality as it is. I like to laugh, like to make my friends laugh. That's what weed would do to me. Or if I got so high, too many hits off the bong, off the blunts. We did blunts. We were Eastie kids. We grew up in hip hop. So there was one time at my buddy's house on New Year's, I took a dime bag and a blunt to the head by myself. I wasn't sharing with anyone. And then my other buddies were throwing in on the bong. They had a 3-chamber bong. And every now and then they're like, T, come hit it, come clear it. I would hit that on top of the booze. I got fucked up because I had alcohol too. And anytime I got super high when there wasn't any alcohol involved, I would just chill. And then I go to sleep. Kind of like what wine does to me now as a grown man. Doesn't really get me drunk. I just get chill. So now with the CBD, I wanted to try that. Right now, I took a 5 milligram earlier on, and I went on to the second one. So I'm on 10 milligrams within a 3.5 hour pace. Like I said, I'm not high. I do feel like an edge has been taken off. And I'm sitting here as I record this, kind of hoping like I should have taken this, kind of wondering why I didn't do this a while ago. These stores were open for the past few months. I could have pretty much got into this right after my mom passed away, and I'm still dealing with the health stuff. But I can tell you right now, I don't have, maybe I don't know if this is going to help the podcast or not, I still have that crazy wise-ass sense of humor as I'm on them, but the edge of me being, I'm not saying I'm agitated, but that passionate Italian in me, I'm not as worked up. Not worked up in a bad way, I don't get worked up in a bad way or a negative way. I get worked up over any topic, over anything, because I'm so focused. And by the way, I'm even more focused on this. Talking, listen here, I'm not pausing, I'm not saying the us a lot, I'm not stuttering. I'm not like I do, I'm not a stuttering prick, but I'm just saying, I'm focused and you have my attention. Not like you never had my attention before, but I feel like I could give certain things even more attention if that's even possible for somebody like me. And I can sit here and really try to do the best podcast I can, and I feel much more alert, relaxed at the same time. So I'll see where it goes. I don't know if I'm going to go past the 10 milligrams. I know one day I'll end up doing the podcast after I smoke the joint, if I ever get to the joints, because I want to see what that does. Kind of like I did the Drunken Festivus post. Maybe this year for Festivus, I'll do the High Festivus airing of the grievances. I don't know. But anybody out there that's been talking about the benefits of CBD, I know a lot of you out there, a lot of my friends and family have been telling me about it. You know about my personal issues, what I was going through. Right now, I feel pretty balanced, and maybe I'll do it anytime at nighttime when I need to take the edge off or when I want to record the podcast. I don't know. Not like I'm going to become addicted to CBD fucking gems. But I wanted to share that. It's no shame that, you know, people out there who smoke weed and use CBD. I'm not a weed head. I'm not going to get high all the day. I don't have a vape pen. I don't have a bong. I don't have a pipe. I will pop a CBD here and there. I'll try the chocolates eventually and let you all know how that felt. But I feel like there's some benefits so far. Maybe it's the placebo effect. Maybe it's in my head. Maybe it's not even doing anything. Maybe because I think I'm on something that it's doing that. The placebo effect. I learned that in the ninth fucking grade in science class. Anyway, I wanted to open up with that just because I wanted to talk about what that did for me. And by the way, dating has been phenomenal for me. I want to throw that out there because I'm giving you all an update on my life and some topics at the same time. Bilo and I, hopefully we got together and recorded something, give him some updates, but I may be drawing the fine line on how much I share, as I'm down to the final two finalists, we'll say. Not like it was a competition for my heart or anything like that, but there's one right now I've been focusing on. I'm going to see how that goes, and I just wanted to share that I'm in a pretty good mood. I think I'm on firing on all cylinders, and life is pretty good for me right now. It's been a long time getting here, and I'm happy with the way things are going. Just wanted to give you all that quick little update. If I don't get into it with Bilo recording one of the podcasts, which I think would air with him on Wednesday. Jumping into some topics, some topical shit that's out there. Something I saw earlier in the week. Now, I've never been I did the Tough Mudders and I had to climb up mountains on foot. I never had to climb up the side and I had to use my hands. It wasn't actually mountain climbing. It was hiking through. I never understood that, what people did that. I watched that Free Solo not too long ago. It was really fucked up with the dude that climbs and scales mountains without any type of ropes and shit like that. I never got that. I never got the rock climbing in the gym. I do want to try that with a pretty lady friend because I'm telling you right now, I'm not trying to be a creep here, but there is something like when I was doing the mud races of when a woman has on those tight yoga pants, it was going over the walls in the mud races. But watching some friends, and there's some girl lady friends I've known, they sent me videos. The rock climbing, what it does in the lady's booty, I would love to do that. I'll show off my booty as well to the lady. I'm not saying I'm doing that just for the point of looking at her ass, but there's something to be said about rock climbing and a woman's ass. And it was pretty spectacular from some of the things I have been seeing, and it has my interest. Anyway, that shit aside, there's something that I saw last week and this past week on the news, trending on Twitter. Again, that mountain climbing shit, I just don't get. This is even more intense than the rock climbing or the scaling. Hiking up a mountain, a snowy mountain, like Mount Everest. Mount Everest is so popular now, I guess, with all these people going up there. They hike in groups. I don't know what it's called. I guess you can't do it by yourself because of how bad the conditions get up there. But there are groups going up now. So many, it's so bad that Nepal is starting to ban some people because they're so crowded on the top of the summit as they're hiking up that they're fucking falling off. Three, and I think another person by himself fell off, almost four people have fallen off Mount Everest this week. What the fuck are you doing? Like, I get that. People look for stuff with a thrill. Like, some people go skydiving or they go surfing where a shark could fucking eat you, or skydiving and your chute may not open. There are certain things that you could go for extremes, like me with the mud races. I wasn't going to die. I got burnt. I got electrocuted. There's some things that could hurt my body, but death was kind of out of the question. You don't need to do these things, people. You do understand that you don't have to do these extreme fucking things like climb Mount Everest, right? Regardless if it's crowded or not, what the fuck are you doing up there to begin with? But a lot of people are fucking dying from climbing Mount Everest. You would think that's not a surprise. But it's not the traditional sense as they go up there and die from the mountain, from like hypothermia or the terrible weather conditions or starvation or anything like that. Or just waving the flag, like, come get them, their body can't continue, and they die waiting for someone to rescue them. They are legit falling off because they're overcrowded. Mount Everest is overcrowded, and people are falling off of Mount Everest. That's a weird fucking statement. Don't know if we ever would have seen that day, but that's what's going on fucking Mount Everest. And all I'm saying is, you know how you don't die from falling off of Mount Everest? You don't fucking go up on Mount Everest, okay? What the fuck are you thinking? Moving on, something else I saw trending this past week, specifically on Twitter. This is something I wrote about on T-Blog way back, probably about 5-6 years ago. I listed all my TV crushes on TV shows, all my first crushes. And Twitter had something out there, list your first TV crush. Now, I could list my very first one. It's going to sound weird, I wrote about it on T-Blog, but I'll go to the order of the ones that had the most impact on my life. Because it goes way back to elementary school, before puberty. Then it goes through puberty in middle school. And then later on towards the end of middle school, heading into high school, because one of them kind of came way back into another show. And I'll get into that in a second. So my first TV crush was coming home after school, watching cartoons. Of course, I would do my homework first before I watched my cartoons, or going outside and played after the cartoons. There was a show in the 80s called, and you may have heard of it from those on that Gen X millennial cusp, called a cartoon called Inspector Gadget. That's right. My first celebrity crush was not Inspector Gadget. The fuck is wrong with you? Even though some of his gadgets were really fucking cool. My first celebrity crush was a cartoon on Inspector Gadget, and that was his niece, Penny. Penny was my first TV crush. A cartoon. I thought she was cute. I thought she was smart. She had a dog named Brain. I always wanted a dog. I always wanted to solve cases. I wish that I had a cool fucking uncle. I always wanted my uncle to be either Inspector Gadget or Batman. He was also a detective. I didn't have that. Penny had a little, she would take down Dr. Claw and then Inspector Gadget with a credit card. She was a smart little girl. She had the pigtails. She was fucking smart. She had the dog. She didn't use the gadgets, but she could figure things out. And I liked Penny. I know that's fucking crazy, but again, I was probably like, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years old at the time. It's okay to like a cartoon. I mean, later on, there was Scarlet and Lady J from fucking G.I. Joe, but they were grown women. So yeah, Penny from Inspector Gadget was my very first. That transitioned over to an actual real-life little girl, okay? So I'm not that fucking weird. And she's actually a year or two older than me in real life, so it felt okay watching her. And that is, and again, it's all on T-Blog. This is all on T-Blog, but I'm glad it came full circle. That is the great Punky Brewster. That's right. Punky Brewster was not just a little girl's show. Little boys watched it too because you learned life lessons. She was another one. She got adopted by Henry, and she had a cool-ass treehouse, and she had a dog as well, kind of like Penny. That was Brendan. No, Brendan? No, wait, Brendan was her friend. Holy shit, what the fuck was the dog's name? Brandon. Was it Brandon? Anyway, she had a fucking dog, and it's on T-Blog, and I'm looking that up because I don't look. I do this raw and uncut. But anyway, Punky Brewster had a dog, she had a treehouse, she lived in a cool apartment building. I lived in a three-family house, in an apartment, but it was an apartment building. And she had all those friends out there, and they did crazy shit, and they go into adventures. There was a time Sherry got locked in the fucking refrigerator, and she almost died. That bugged everybody the fuck out seeing that. But anyway, Punky Brewster, she was a little girl, again, with pigtails. I wonder if I have a pigtail fetish. No, as a grown man in my 20s, 30s, and 40s. Not my 40s yet. But definitely, you know, a little tea trivia out there. There have been girls in my 20s and 30s that have done a little dress-up pigtail schoolgirl outfit for me. So I guess that kind of goes back. I think every grown man remembers that from their childhood. Now it makes a lot of sense with the fucking pigtails. I just had an epiphany here, ladies and gentlemen. Had to get that out there. Anyway, Punky Brewster, she started hitting puberty before I did because she was a couple years older. And I remember when she came back one season, she had boobs. And for me, at that age, you know, grown women had boobs. Like, I knew what boobs were. I always say I went to my father's closet and I found his porn collection. And all my buddies and I talked about that and kids. But, you know, we weren't old enough. The hormones weren't kicking in. But when you get to that 10, 11 years old, it starts to become the preteen. And then the hormones of puberty kicks in. But when Punky Brewster came back with boobs, and that became a real life problem for Soleil Moonfry. That's who she was in real life. She ended up getting overgrown boobs and had to get reduction. And remember that, this is like you're talking about a time before the internet. I remember Style Magazine and The Enquirer. They had this big deal about this girl, Punky Brewster, after she was off the show. In her late teens, I showed her had back problems and she had to get breast reduction. And to me, I was following that along for some reason. Like it was the fucking opening of fucking, I don't know, Al Capone's vault and shit. To me, I was very obsessed with Punky Brewster in her real life and her boobs and getting fucking reduced. And I'm like, why would you do that? You know, I didn't realize health issues. And again, I was a fucking kid. I couldn't understand anything. But Punky Brewster was my second celebrity crush. That led into Saturday mornings, the preteen coming in. Now I'm about, you know, 12, 13, 14, getting into high school. This at the same time, there was two shows. But the first one was Saved by the Bell. And Saved by the Bell was on every fucking Saturday. And if you grew up the way I grew up and you're about my age, in your early 40s, late 30s, you remember Saved by the Bell. The first season wasn't the lineup that we all knew. It was Zach in a different school with a different teacher. And then later on, they I think Screech was in that one, but then they recast it. Mr. Belding was still the principal, but then they brought in, you know, Slater, they brought in Lisa, they brought in Jesse, and then they brought in my third celebrity crush, the great, the beautiful, the girl next door, the head cheerleader. Everybody loved her. Zach loved her. Slater loved her. We all loved her. Kelly fucking Kapowski, played by the great, great Tiffany Amber Thiessen. She, to me, was like, that was my girl. That was the dark hair. That was the light eyes. That was the look, the pretty face. Later on, she got her boobs done and came back on another show as I got older, Beverly Hills 90210 as Valerie, and she had the big boobs. So back to the boobs, I was obsessed with them. But the dark hair and those light eyes, that was where it all started for me. And I fucking loved Kelly Kapowski. And then I loved her as a bad girl with the bigger boobs as Valerie. But these celebrity crushes that were trending on Twitter made me think of those girls. And then last but not least, this was probably my blonde obsession, which got me into blondes. And again, I kind of stayed away from blondes, but there was one girl I dated in my late teens and I got back to a couple years ago. She and I reconnected and we got a little serious and we just had another weird ending because I just got to swear off fucking blondes. I do. As much as I say that I shouldn't and I end up dating them again, blondes never end well for me. My first blonde, and it started with the great Pamela Anderson on Baywatch. She played CJ Parker. Pamela Anderson on this show would run in slow motion. She was a lifeguard. Again, I grew up in East Boston. We didn't have any real lifeguards. Our beaches were fucking polluted. They had heroin syringes you could step on. There were condoms being washed up. There's always this red tide, black tide, and you couldn't touch the fucking clams. And the water was just fucking nasty because it was right near the airport. There was definitely jet fuel, engine fuel, oil in the fucking water. It was gross. So for me to see like a California beach and see Pamela Anderson running in slow motion, that blonde, blue-eyed, beautiful, tanned woman from California. Then she did Playboy. Pamela Anderson, if it started with Kelly Kapowski, puberty, Pamela Anderson fucking put me through puberty. So everybody out there talking about your celebrity crushes, your TV crushes, your first celebrity TV crush, who are yours? Hit me up, DM me, do what you need to do. I'm curious. We could talk about it another day on the podcast. But those were mine. I had to share that out there. My TV crushes, Penny, Punky Brewster, Kelly Kapowski, and CJ Parker. I love them. I love them so much. Last but not least, I think last week some topical stuff I went into was the Batman casting. The new Batman, Robert Pattinson, which they still haven't officially announced because I think they retracted that statement. I'm hoping he's not going to be Batman. Something else that I saw this week. I've always been a fan of the Terminator franchise. I love the Terminator. My mother let me watch it when I was a little kid. I remember watching the very first one on cable when Arnold landed to Earth, but when he came through the time travel, the port, came through that bubble, he runs into Bill Paxton, takes his clothes, got the famous I'll be back. I love that. Terminator 2, I thought was even better. I was in the eighth grade when that came out. It was fucking amazing. James Cameron, between Terminator and Aliens, just made some bomb-ass fucking movies, some sci-fi shit. Later on, Avatar. I love The Abyss, a very underrated James Cameron sci-fi movie. He actually took some of the Abyss technology and used that in Terminator 2 when you got to see the T2 version, the T-1600 of that version was, that kind of did like that liquid melty look as he morphed. I always love James Cameron movies. I even like fucking Titanic. Now, when he left the Terminator franchise to go focus on Avatar and other things, they tried several times to reboot that Terminator franchise. They started doing the Terminator 3, Terminator 4. They even brought in fucking Christian Bale as an older John Connor, which I thought kind of worked. They wrote off Sarah Connor. They killed her off. Then they were doing the time jump. They're coming back. And then the last one even brought Arnold back. And they aged him. Because I guess his skin from can age. But they never clarified how it picked up after Terminator 2. It didn't make any sense. It wasn't following James Cameron's stories. It had its characters. It was a clusterfuck. But I went and saw all of them. I saw all, I think it's 4 or 5 with Genesis Terminators. And now they're making another one. They just made another one. James Cameron, because he's so busy with Avatar, didn't direct this one. I wish he did. When I heard his name was back into the Terminator franchise, he got involved with the story and he produced this one. This new one, Terminator Dark Fate, is going to pick up right after Terminator 2, and we're supposed to forget all the other Terminators happened. Okay, I get that. Supposedly they're trying to do that with Aliens as well. Don't know if that's going to happen. Predator, they tried to reboot that a couple times. Those are like the big key franchises. Terminator, Predator, Aliens, and they keep on fucking those up. Now, I just saw the trailer. The trailer dropped literally 24 hours before I recorded this. I saw it. I watched it. I gotta say, I was very disappointed. It didn't feel like anything like James Cameron. Didn't feel like he had anything to do with it. They brought back Linda Hamilton. She's back as an older Sarah Connor. She looked good. I think she's in her 60s now. They chopped off her hair. And then there's a quick little cameo, and I'll get into the rest of the trailer in a second. But towards the end, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger now. Again, I don't know how to explain how he survived, because technically if it picks up for Terminator 2, every part of him, including his arm and the chip, got melted away at the bottom of the lava at the end of Terminator 2. They show Schwarzenegger, he's older, so at some point they're going to talk about how his version of the Terminator, the T-100, or the fuck they were, the skin can age, but inside is the Terminator, the metal. It's how they work around that, how they could bring Arnold back into it. Sarah Connor, somehow they're going to ignore that she never died once he picks up. But I'm watching this entire trailer, right? And all the people that played John Connor over the years, there is no John Connor in this trailer. Now, Sarah Connor was the mother of the guy that's supposed to save the world from the Terminators. That was John Connor. That was the basis of Terminator 1 and Terminator 2. They introduced a young, supposed to be 10 or 11 years old in it, John Connor. And then all these other ones that James Cameron had nothing to do with were heavy on John Connor. This one, and I know, again, back to the inclusive thing, had a woman in there with short hair that was a Terminator, and this short-haired woman, people are picking up on the vibes, they're already critiquing it, saying, is this like the LGBTQ community? Are they trying to make this more inclusive? Are they going to give us a lesbian fucking Terminator? I don't know. I didn't pick up all of that on the fucking trailer. I kind of like when that one they had, that hot blonde girl Terminator. I don't mind a girl Terminator. I don't care if she's fucking a lesbian or straight, as long as she's badass and it tells her a good story. What bothered me in the trailer was there was no fucking John Connor. Now, maybe they're saving that for the movie? I don't know. I don't think they would. Or maybe there's going to be another trailer cut before it comes out. But Terminator Dark Fate, getting Schwarzenegger in it, Linda Hamilton back in it, James Cameron at least producing it, and no John Connor, it doesn't look good. So you better give me another fucking trailer to get me back in there. Again, I saw trailers for the other ones. They don't look good. I still saw them because I love the Terminator franchise. I'm probably going to see this. Gonna go see it anyway, but I'm gonna walk in with the screenwriter hat on thinking that I'm only going to see this to see why it got made, knowing that's gonna be bad. I go see movies that are bad just because it makes me a better writer, and I will go see this. But ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't checked out the trailer yet, go check out the trailer for Terminator Dark Fate. Let me know what the fuck you think, because it does not look good. I can't believe James Cameron's getting back and this is the shit that he's gonna put out. So that's it. Hans Zimmer's starting to play. I wanted to come in, give you my little update on the CBD, my health, talk a little bit about what's going on in the world with a new movie coming out, another Terminator, the TV crushes, and all those motherfuckers dying on Mount Everest. With that said, where to find me? I can be found on Instagram, the_T_podcast. For all the podcast stuff, you can find me on T-Blog, all one word, for some cool, amazing pics. You can DM me on both. I know a lot of you are out there. I reply when I can. On Twitter, at T-Blog, all one word. On Facebook, the T-Blog page. And you can email me about the show, any questions about dating, CBD, movies, fucking anything. I'll give my reply here. I'll DM you back. I'll email you back. Email me at t@t-blog.com. And of course, you can find me in the place that started it all, tblog.com itself. In here on the T Podcast, 2 to 3 times a week, from Tuesday, Wednesday, to Thursday. I am always here for all of you, entertaining you, laid back on the CBD, on the new software. Hans Zimmer's getting louder and louder. That's the show, everyone. Until next time, always take it there.